in this house. Yeah, I feel all right. Oh, I feel all right. Oh, I feel all right. I'm trying to stop, Reverend, but I feel all right up in here. If you're not too mean, why don't you put your arm around your brother and put your arm around your sister and get real close to them. Get real close, real close, and just tell them, I don't know what's gonna happen to our race. Tell them, but God will make a way.
Are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
We certainly thank God for all that He is, for all that He's done. Excuse me. And since I just did that in front of you, let me go on and give you what they call TMI. I need your prayers this morning because I'm a religious flosser, and I use a water pick flosser, and I mix the water with hydrogen peroxide, and I floss with it all of the time. And this morning, the only breakfast I had was hydrogen peroxide because a whole lot of it went down into my stomach. So y'all pray for me as I stand here today. God is good, isn't He? Amen. Let me say to Brother Banks and the brother, I don't call everybody because I just don't remember all of their names, but I'm always happy to see you here. So happy to see Joni here. Amen. I saw Marcus here. His mom is here. God bless you. Brother Leonard. Brother Davis. Adrian, right? Amen. Brother, stand up, Brother Davis. That's the son of Brother Billy and Callie Davis. Always happy to see you here. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Am I missing anybody else? Am I missing anybody else that's been away, but you're here? Amen. Who? I recognized him last Sunday. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Well, it's just good to see all of you in the house of the Lord on today. And I want to call your attention to the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I love you. I love you. I love what key is that? Oh, my. Because you care for me. In such a special. Hold up. I missed this young lady on last Sunday. I'm not going to miss her today. My great niece, Sierra, is here. Stand up, Sierra. This is my brother Wade's daughter. Amen. Look at her. She's taller than me now. God bless you, Sierra. Now let's all sing that one more time. If you love the Lord, say it. Come on.
I love you. Lord,
praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That is why my heart is filled with praise. Let's sing that second verse. My heart, my mind, stand up if you will. My heart, my mind, my soul belongs to you. You paid the price. Way back on Calvary. And that's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That is why my heart. That is why my heart. That is why my heart. Heart is filled with praise. Amen. While you remain standing, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we want to look at verses 9 and 10 for just a few moments. Also happy to see my brother Lorenzo here, and so proud of the work that he's doing with the Leesville Track Club. And they're getting ready to go off to Virginia to compete in the Junior Olympics. Amen. And certainly we're going to do what we can to help them as he works with these young people. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, the word of God says, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. And then verse 10, is there anything that whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Let's read it again. I want to hear y'all read it too. Come on, 9 and 10. Let's read that together. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk for just a few minutes from the subject, no new thing. No new thing. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. I have learned in my life to be grateful. Grateful for many things. Grateful for life. Grateful for love. Grateful for family. Grateful for God. But I've come by this morning to tell you that I am also grateful for my experiences. I am grateful for the things that I have been through in my life. Things that are labeled both good and bad. We need to be reminded every now and then that there are no perfect people. And I would have you to just scan this entire congregation this morning from the choir loft to the pulpit. Look around you in the pew. And I want to remind you that there are no perfect people. But what I've come to discover is that we are all a combination of the things that we like about ourselves and the things that we don't like about ourselves. All of the experiences that have shaped me, I celebrate. I said all of them. I celebrate. And I've come by this morning to tell you that you ought to celebrate all of the experiences that have shaped you. And I think that if we had a testimony period right here, there would be many who would admit that they have not all been beautiful. There have been gory days, difficult days, destructive days, and dangerous days. There are moments in your own life that you would rather forget, and even moments that you wish never existed. But then there are those moments that we love to talk about, the mountaintop moments, the beautiful breakthrough moments, the times in our lives where we feel like Peter, James, and John, who were out on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, who said, Lord, we could stay right here. We would love life to be a leap from one mountaintop to the next, but the reality is that between every mountain, there is a valley. Which means that there are valley moments that are also a part of our cultural and personal narrative. And even those moments, again, those moments that are painful and problematic are still moments that help to cultivate us. They help to shape us. They help to prepare us. They help to equip us and get us ready for what lies ahead. This is what I have personally learned on my journey with God. On my journey with God, I've learned that the experiences that I thought were destructive and dangerous were experiences that I also had the opportunity to have a front row seat to watch God do the miraculous. I know I'm not the only one in this room this morning who can testify that you have had a front row seat to see God do what he has done in your life. There's something about having a front row seat at a boxing match. Something about having a front row seat in your personal confusion. Something about having a front row seat in your own mess. Somebody's going to hear me this morning. If you ask people who have gone to boxing matches, who have ringside seats, they will tell you that there's a danger if the fight gets bloody, that some of the splatter may come your way. And some of us right now who have had front row seats on our own crises have some of the blood stains to show how we've gone through crisis and issues, and yet with that same front row seat, yes, we have experienced the bloodiness of it, but we have also experienced the breakthrough of it. Is there anybody here who can thank God that he brought you through? Come on, is there anybody here who ain't so holy, who ain't so proud of your halo, that you're not willing to admit that you have some blood stains, that you had to fight along the way, that you got knocked down along the way, but you're still here today because the Lord brought you through. We've been close enough to feel the intensity of the pain, but we have also been close enough to see how God stepped in and was able to deliver and able to restore and able to renew and able to save and able to heal and able to redeem. We've seen it all in our lives, but this is what I want you to understand. I want you to understand this morning that your experiences of deliverance and breakthrough are not just for you to have a testimony. Now, thank God that you have a testimony. Amen. If you've never had a test, then you won't have a testimony. Come on, how many of you can say, Pastor, I do have a testimony. I have been through some stuff that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I wouldn't be here. Pastor, I may not say a whole lot. I may not clap a whole lot. I may not sing loud or none of that. But preacher, I've got a testimony because the Lord has been good to me. Where are my folk at? If you're not too mean and not too proud, let somebody know you've been through some stuff. You've had some tests. You're looking real cute up in here on Sunday, but tell them, amen, don't get it twisted, amen. Before you celebrate my glory, you need to know something about my story. Thank God for your testimony. But I've come by to tell you today, I want to move beyond the testimony because I want us to realize that the stuff we go through in life is not only for us to have a testimony. Amen. Especially if you're one of those who's consumed with being an exhibitionist at your testimony. Well, who are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the folk who want everybody to know what you've been through so that, amen, you can either garner praise or pity. Yeah, come on. Y'all know some folk like that. Amen. They don't mind giving their testimony because they want somebody to feel sorry for them. or they want somebody to pat them on the back and praise them for what they've done. Amen. If you're just an exhibitionist in your own testimony, then you are missing the reason and the rationale for God allowing you to go through some stuff. Because your experience is not just for a testimony. Your experience is also given to prepare you for the next crisis that is going to come in your life. Somebody said you're either coming out of a crisis, you're in a crisis, or just keep on waking up. Your crisis is going to come. And so I've come by today to tell us, amen, yes, we ought to celebrate our testimony, but we also need to be cognizant of the fact that God doesn't just allow us to go through stuff just so we'll have a testimony. He also allows us to go through some stuff so that we will be better prepared, so that we will be better equipped when the next storm comes. I wonder if I'm looking at anybody today who can say, amen, Pastor, I'm stronger this year than I was last year. I wonder if there's anybody in here that can say, I'm better this year than I was last. I'm wiser this year than I was because the Lord allowed me to go through some stuff. And what I found out is that he didn't bring me to the stuff to destroy me. He brought me to the stuff to make me stronger, to make me better, to make me wiser. And so stuff that used to derail me, stuff that used to steal my praise, stuff that used to have me coming in church wondering who's looking at me and what are they saying about me and who speaks to me and who did, I don't worry about any of that anymore because the Lord has allowed me to go through some stuff. And I'm stronger, baby. Come on, I'm wise. I'm better. Because of what the Lord has done. One of the things that's mind-boggling to me is how some folk come to me, watch this, with a crisis that is familiar, and yet they act like they don't know nothing about it. Back up, rewind, let me say it again. People will often come to me with a crisis that is familiar, but they act like it's new. You see, the church part of us says, yes, I have been here before. I was here the last time, but the reason why I am still here to talk about it now is because somehow in the majestic mercy of God, in the glorious grace of God, God looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Can we be real up in here? Can we be... Come on, some of the calamities that could have happened to us, we really deserve. See, we get so holy that, amen, we think that our friends, amen, who ended up in prison, or our friends who ended up on their deathbed, or those who ended up losing everything, amen, were just not as lucky as we were. But I've come by to tell you today that your success, that your getting up again, had nothing to do with luck. It had to do with the grace of God. Is there anybody here who understands that God had grace on your life and he didn't just show you grace, he also showed you mercy? Because grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve, but mercy is when he withholds from us what we do deserve. Now, since y'all gonna act so holy, let me testify for my own self. I have not done it all right. I have not dotted every I and crossed every T. I've messed up along the way. I've stumbled. I've fallen. But I thank God I was able to get back up again because the same God that allowed me to go through what I went through picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. You ought to give him praise in this place. All I'm trying to tell you is that I'm here today because God has kept me. All I'm trying to tell you is that I'm here today because God has sustained me. In other words, when I find myself faced with a familiar foe in a new day, I have to remind myself that I have an old memory. You missed it. When I face a familiar foe in a new day, I have an old memory that reminds me in my current state
that if God brought me out last time, it is the same God that will bring me out this time. Hey, come on, can I get a witness up in here? That means that I face my current crisis with renewed strength. That means that what I've been through was also my training ground, so that when I go through, I look back on what I have been through and learn how to get through. Because I cannot get through if I have not learned from what I have been through. So when what I have been through helps me get through and what I'm going through, I can tap into the resources that were birthed in me when I was going through, which means that what I have been through was a part of the historic narrative of my life that is to be used as a reservoir of resources to tap into, so that I can develop new mechanisms in my current moment that help me face my new crisis, so that I face my new crisis with old memories, and those old memories are not memories of defeat. They are memories of overcoming. They are memories of deliverance. They are memories that remind me that when I stand flat-footed in my current crisis, I can look at the situation, and before I begin to have thoughts of giving up or throwing in the towel, I begin to have thoughts about charting my own course. I can remind myself I've been here before. And the same God, I said the same God that brought me out last time, he will bring me out this time. That's why I praise him. Come on, is there anybody up in here? You might be in your crisis, but you can still give God praise, because you have this confidence that if he brought me out last time, baby, I'm up in it right now. But if he brought me out last time, he can bring me out this time. Give him praise. Don't wait till the...
Come on, if you got faith in him, if you trust him, if you believe him, you can shout right now.
I know what the doctors are saying, but I dare you to shout right now. I know your children are acting up and acting, but I dare you to shout right now. I know your money is funny and your change is strange, but I dare you to shout right now. I know people are lying on you and talking about you, but I dare you, I double dare you, shout right now. Give him praise.
Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Now, I need to tell you, with that old memory, there is a danger, because whenever you deal or mess with an old scar, especially if it still has a scab on it, there's a danger of you bleeding. And the danger is this, because when you start bleeding, the devil will trap you and distract you and have you thinking, should I deal with the scar, or should I go on forward into my destiny? And I've come by to tell you today that sometimes a new crisis will open old wounds, but it has to be faced with a new resolve and a new approach. What are you saying? What are you saying? I'm saying that when you are immature as a Christian, you generally operate based upon reflexes. Reflexes, reflexes. See, reflexes are developed as you go through stuff. Amen. You develop reflexes to deal with some new stuff. And so for those of you who used to fight, and some of you still fight, or those of you who used to cuss, and yeah, if you get in a situation and you know somebody's about to swing out on you, if you're not careful, if you haven't grown up, thank you, help me, deacons, your reflexes might beat them to the punch. If you know somebody's finna give you some good lip service, amen, sometimes you want to remind them that you haven't forgotten all of your cuss words. And your reflexes will kick in and cause you to do something that you'll end up not being happy with. That's your reflexes. But I've come by to tell you that as you grow in the Word of God, as you become spiritually mature, you stop letting your reflexes take control. Come on, I know I'm talking to one or two folk who've grown up enough who are able to say, stuff I used to do, I don't do as much. Amen. Now, maybe you up in here and you say you don't do it anymore. Well, if that's your testimony, don't lie about it. Amen. Some of us just got to admit stuff we used to do, we don't do as much. But please be patient with me, because God ain't through with me yet. Where am I? Ain't through with me yet, folks. He's still working on me. Amen. As you grow up, as you become spiritually mature, you stop operating off of reflexes and you learn to start reflecting. All right. What does it mean to reflect? In a real sense, it means to stop. It means to pause and let the Holy Spirit speak before you speak. It means to let the Holy Spirit act before you act. Do I have any witnesses in here today? And so I've just come by to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that the reason some of us go through some things, and if you're a believer, I would venture to say that the reason all of us as believers go through some stuff is, yes, for us to have a testimony, but not only that, God is trying to equip us. He's trying to prepare us for something that's up ahead. And then I've come by to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to stop operating out of your reflexes. Start reflecting and allow the Word of God to speak into that situation so that you don't act outside of the will of God. I know there's some folk in here that can say, wow, that has happened in my life, and I didn't even realize what was going on. So go on and pat yourself on the back, because you've grown up a little. Amen. Go on and encourage yourself, because you have matured a little. You know, and that's something we don't do enough. We don't celebrate ourselves enough. And a lot of us in the church are depressed and frustrated because we're waiting on some other brother or sister in the church to encourage us. And chances are, if you're looking for encouragement up in here, you're not gonna get it, because some of those same folk don't encourage themselves. But I have learned, and thank God I've learned, how to encourage myself in the Lord. Is there anybody here today who has grown up enough that you've learned how to encourage yourself in the Lord? Is there anybody here today? If you're not too mean and if you're not too proud, why don't you go on and celebrate the fact that after all that you've been through, you still have joy. That after all that you've been through, thank God you have a testimony. But after all that you've been through, you can shout in the midst of your current crisis, because you know that the same God that brought you out last time is the same God that is able to bring you out this time. And I can't help but hear Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say in the midst of going into the fiery furnace that, O King, our God may not